The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Our 51551, and we just spotted a lovely tweet there. The 43 driver that's driving a 1510 bus, he's dressed as Santa and is spreading some well-needed cheer around the place. I love that. I was in town today, I was cycling back, and I spotted a girl with tinsel wrapped around the crossbar of her bike, which is nice. We used to do a thing years ago, and just a mention for people who got involved all those years. We used to have Red Tinsel Day, and I'd cycle in with a Santa outfit on, and some I'd scooted in and all sorts of things. And then we'd have Santas all over the country who'd cycle into work and spread good cheer, and then we'd talk to them. It was great. Might do that again next year. It's too late for this year. Now, a new documentary all about Donald Trump's mother, Mary-Ann McLeod, is set to hit your television screens this evening. Maher Trump tracks the emigration of a young Scottish woman, as in Mary-Ann, born and raised on the island of Lewis, and she emigrated to America. Presenter Sheila McEnanig joins me now from our Galway studio. Good afternoon, Sheila.
Hi, Ray. How are you
doing? Did I just make you a man there? It should be Nick.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Nick and Enig. Sorry, that's you're not Mock and Enig, you're Nick and Enig. Sorry.
I don't mind.
And is that Nick and Enig or Nick and Enig? Nah, where do you say it?
Nick and Enig.
Nick and Enig, yeah, there you go. I was right. Okay. Congratulations on the documentary. Why did you decide to do it?
Well, I suppose I didn't decide to do it. I was lucky enough to be asked to come along to do it with the companies who were doing it. So TG Cahir and BBC Alba were looking at the story of Mary-Ann McLeod, as she would have been, Mary-Ann McLeod, who later became Mary Trump. And Abu Media in Connemara and Mastard in Lewis, actually, made the documentary for TG Cahir and BBC Alba. And I was lucky enough to be asked to present it.
Yeah, because all we know really about Donald Trump's mother is that she was interviewed by Bebe Baskin once. That's probably the height of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. And I didn't know that, I have to say.
Oh, did
I was
you not?
Delighted. I didn't. No, I knew nothing about her. You know, while we were making the programme, we were in Lewis and Torkel Crichton, whom we interviewed there, said to me, you know, every president wants to find their roots somewhere, mostly in Ireland. That's the most popular place to be rooted. But Donald Trump, who has this immediate link to somewhere like here, says nothing about it.
Mm.
So I knew that there was some Scottish link. I didn't know that it was his mother, and I certainly didn't know that she was a speaker of Gaelic, Scots Gaelic. So it was a really interesting journey to go on.
So Lewis, you mentioned, that's the Isle of Lewis, which
that's
is
right.
in the Outer Hebrides.
Yeah.
You visited there. What sort of place is it?
It's a cold place. I was there in February. It was absolutely freezing. It's very beautiful, windswept, wild. It's the edge of the world, much like the west of Ireland or the Aran Islands are the edge of the world. Freezing cold north winds, though. Very beautiful.
And loads of parallels between the Scottish and the Irish who would have left their home places to go to America. What was her family situation?
She was the youngest of many children. There were 12 children, I think, and she was the youngest. And her siblings had all emigrated before her to Canada, to New Zealand, to America. So I suppose she knew it was probably the best choice for her. There was very little left on the island, and especially after the First World War, where not only were a lot of men lost in the war, but on the night they were coming home on New Year's Eve in 1918, one of the two ships that was bringing the survivors from Lewis home sank. And all of the people on board died. So all of those men, half of the men who were returning to the island died. So that left a situation where there were very few men. There was very little work. There was very few people for women to marry. They knew that the future was, you know, leaving the island.
Mm.
And she had somewhere to go. She could join her sisters in New York, which is what she did.
And as a young woman, what would her journey have been? Where did she go to get a ship across to America?
She went, oh my God, where did she go?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I know it's in the documentary and
yes,
I can't remember now off the top of my head.
Well, she got there anyway.
The name of the ship. She did. She got there and she had a journey along the way. So when she was 14, she wrote to a girl in Dundee, a girl called Agnes Stiven. She saw her name in the newspaper when Agnes won an art competition. And in those days, your name and address were printed in the newspaper.
Right.
And they became pen pals. So before she went across to the States, they met up for the first time. They've been writing to each other for 4 years. And so a lot of the stories that we have about her young life, come through Agnes telling those stories to her grandchildren and eventually writing them down, not knowing that this Mary Trump that she was friends with all those years before had become a very wealthy woman and eventually was the mother of a president.
But when she arrived in New York through Ellis Island, as all emigrants did, she worked as a domestic.
She did, which was very common at the time. I suppose we kind of think of a domestic as being a particular role in life. But as Gwenda Blair mentions, she's a biographer of the Trump family. She mentions in the documentary, about a third of the population of the US at that time worked as domestic helpers in one capacity or another. So, you know, nobody had microwaves, nobody had pressure cookers, nobody had washing machines, nobody had all the things we're so used to now. All of the menial work had to be done by people. And those of us leaving the west of Europe or the middle of Europe looking for a better life were only too happy to do those jobs. And Marianne actually got a job in the Carnegie household in New York, Carnegie Hall, of Carnegie Hall fame.
Right.
So she did quite well and she stayed there for a couple of years.
And you found out her vital statistics, which struck me. She was 5'8", blue eyes and blonde.
Yeah.
So she, as they say down in Kildare, she was a looker. That's my granny
she
used
was.
To say. Yeah.
And the photographs are amazing. Like she was just, she was beautiful. You know, actually, when I did that piece to camera talking about her and what she, what was written down in the ship's manifest about her, her height, I kept saying, they have so many takes of me saying she was 8'5". I just couldn't get it right. But yeah, she was 5'8". She was tall. She was blonde and she had $50. Which
That's
seems like
right.
nothing, but I suppose at the time that was her parents giving her everything they had to say, go make a better life for yourself, find something, and she really did.
When did she find Fred Trump?
Well, she arrived in the States. She turned 18 actually just before she arrived. So on the ship, she went turned 18, and she met him a couple of, within the next couple of years at a party. And as she says herself, he was the most eligible bachelor in New York. Now he wasn't a very wealthy man when they met. He came from a family basically of builders. His father had worked as a builder. His grandfather had come through the Klondike. So he was somebody who was really trying to kind of make his mark. And at that time in America, I suppose, after the crash, through the 40s and 50s, Fred Trump made the best of everything that was that came his way. He was a great man for a deal, as his son turned out to be.
Yes. They got rich pretty quickly then, because you mention her driving back to their pretty big house in Queens in a pink Rolls Royce.
She used to go to the they had a chain of laundrettes, and she used to go to collect the money from the machines, I suppose. And she would drive around in this pink Rolls Royce. So the money, yeah, the money came quite quickly. And when they did visit Lewis, on one of the visits when all of the family came, a couple of decades later, they actually brought a Cadillac onto the island for the weeks that they were there. So, and people still talk about that Cadillac.
I wonder, is that where Donald got his showy side from, his mum?
He absolutely says that. He got his sense of showmanship from his mother. Yeah, and he certainly got his hair from his mother. She had the same sort
bouffant blonde.
Exactly. Yeah.
Running through the documentary, which is a lovely documentary, is the nearest suggestion that that could have been an Irish woman from Inishmore or Achill or whatever. They could have met Fred Trump and be the mother of the President of the United States of America.
I mean, I suppose it could have been anyone. And we do speak to Moira Brett, Moira Fatch-Fachlin, as she was before she left Ireland. Now, she left a few decades later. She left in the 60s. But we were looking at that coming from a small island. So Moira left in the 60s. They had no plumbing. There was a well down the road where they got water. And she, it was a very interesting story, but in brief, she got a job in one of those big houses. So she went from Inishmore to Madison Avenue, where she had her own television, she had a car to drive, she was living in New York. She said, I remember the first time I saw an escalator. Just that huge contrast.
The thing of dreams.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and you know, she says herself, the streets aren't paved with gold, but if you're willing to work here, things can change for you. And they really changed for Marianne Trump.
Maher Trump is on tonight on TG Cahir at Lahore Tréis an Ní. Presenter Sheila Nicanéine Gurnamagad.
Gormila Mahadre.
Slán.